Get well soon to the Serpent of Pleasure.
I'm sorry, sad sack.
Late season snowstorms could get right off the lawn.
Hope you have a basement full of snakes.
It kind of puts you in hell almost. I thought this was the land of the free, man.
Duke the Dumpster Bag, Oxnard, 10,000 Day Champion of 2135.
Great four-tool player.
Somebody's getting body slammed tonight.
Because once you get in there, they just charge you whatever they want.
Exorcise the demons.
They are kind of an abomination.
Tell them, Duke.
We're hoping the Serpent of Pleasure is able to kick out and join us here among the living again soon. So, thoughts and prayers, buddy.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents Rogue Day Tots. And as you're listening, you realize this isn't that moron Kevin talking to you. This is Tropic Al. I am joined this morning as we do an AM session here with Duke the Dumpster Bags from the Year of Pod. Kevin decided to call in sick on us today. We're just hoping he kicks out of this one, to be honest with you. But, you know, happy to have Duke Oxnard. I don't know how many names that Kevin's given you so far.
You know, he's been calling himself Handsome Kevin, the Serpent of Pleasure, you know, so I just kind of, I've been adding some names too. So far we got Duke, the Dumpster, Oxnard Bags. It's a bit of a mouthful, but yeah happy to fill in for Mr. Serpent of Pleasure. Been feeling a little under the weather, but good to see you, Al.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to the approaching 10,000 day champion, Blue Dust, here. This is what an honor, what a treat for me to talk about 2135. Try 10,000, buddy boy, Kevin.
Pleasure's all mine, Al. Yeah, it's, you know, this rain hasn't been easy, but I mean, it's never easy being a reigning defending champion, but yeah, I think it's been a good 25 years since I won that title in the basement in Lindstrom, Minnesota, and haven't looked back.
Yeah, haven't looked back. Leave those losers like Kamikaze Kevin behind you, you know, and all these things. but again, great to have you here again, you know, Kevin. We do, in all seriousness, hope you kick out of this thing, you know, sooner rather than later, because I know it sucks. Yeah, the text that when I know Duke and I were talking pre-show, usually Kevin, if he's awake, like if I send it him anything, you know, in his waking hours, usually within an hour, I'll have something. And there was one, it was like 2 days. I'm like, oh, buddy, like he must be down. So
he's battling some form of the old influenza, which, I mean, that can get right off the line.
Yeah. Speaking of get off the lawn, we'll go ahead and clear it out today. The get off the lawn segment where we exorcise the demons and try to kick the sorry sad sacks off the lawn. Duke, I'm going to jump in because I've got stuff, you know, might be pointed at the Year Up Pod and you can rebut as you see fit. It's mainly for
all right. All right, lay it on me.
Yeah. Well, first, I'm going to start off with these political opinion poll text messages that I'm getting, like the spam messages. We would like to know your political opinion on this. And I'm like, delete junk mail. They send it from a new number. We would like to know your political poll opinion. No, you don't. You don't want to know what it is right now. you really don't. So just stop it. You and Sports Illustrated, stop it. Because I got another Sports Illustrated offer. We would love to have you back for $10 for the year. No, you're not getting me again. Canceling that thing was nearly impossible last time. And they're like, oh, we're just going to re-up you. Even though you didn't sign up or anything, we're going to re-up you and give you Sports Illustrated for the low price of $129.95 or something like that. No, you're not.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Once they get your information, man, it's a tough go.
You know, it used to be a magazine that I did enjoy at one time, and I know things change. You know, the businesses changed. The writers definitely changed off Sports Illustrated. But just getting those in. I bought it from some friends of ours that had Girl Scouts that were, that was one of their things. They did a magazine subscription thing. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll get a Sports Illustrated. It's fine. And every year it was like, you know, well, they'll send you a re-up issue and you can re-up or it's a discounted rate from the newsstand price, whatever. And kept it for a few years, probably longer than I should have. And then they tried the thing, well, for $20, you can re-up. It's like, well, we have your information, basically. We're going to re-up you. And no, you're not. Yeah, that can get off the lawn. This is from Johnny C. to Kevin, again, after the last episode where he was telling John, you see, to check his manhood, you know, about the weather. Johnny C. sends to Kevin, he's like, I hope you have a basement full of snakes. Like, you know, there's just a breeding ground down there.
Just kicking him while he's down.
Yeah, yeah. Just kick him right in the clackers, the long clackers while he's down.
Man, that was a pretty incredible story about that snake.
I still cannot fathom. Like, it was minus 50 the day before. And Kevin's, the lower basement is cold. Like, it's, oh, it stays cold.
Oh, I was here.
Yeah.
I can verify the temperature, yeah. But, man, I wonder if he's got pictures. Because, I mean, that was a pretty incredible tale he was telling.
Yeah, I know.
About that battle with the snake.
Yeah. He had to show Molly. But Johnny C. also was like, Kevin, you sprayed it with potpourri? He's like, potpourri? Really? Like that? You obviously, like, you know, I'm not so sure he can hold a flashlight for somebody while they're working on something anymore. That's the level of, I sprayed it with the smell good stuff. You know, the potpourri that you keep down there.
Thought that would do it. Isn't the move like, if you got a flashlight, isn't the move to just smack the snake in the head?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the, he says he curb stomped it, and you would think with his hobbit feet that that would have done the job, especially since he was wearing shoes, but no.
Stealing with a tough guy. I suppose if you don't kill it, you got to deal with its wrath, so it's kind of a gamble.
Yeah. Well, and I can appreciate and get the fact that, you know, yes, you see that coming towards you in your house. Like, all right, I've got a situation here. But that was from Johnny C. Went to the local. I've just got a couple more, and this is the last one before I get to the year of review show and all that fun stuff. I just mainly pointed at Kevin there. But went to Walmart, and I don't know what it is with people today. I look over in the Lego aisle because I was with OG, my son. They're just shopping around, looking at some toys. He's got a ton of birthday parties in this little window of time here with his little, the pre-K classmates. And I look over and there's a box, like one of the big Lego boxes. They've got ones that are like cats and dogs, like puppies and whatnot now that you can build, like, you know, a cat Lego. And somebody, it had one of the devices, the theft detection devices where it's wrapped around it and got the little clasp on. And somebody just ripped the corner of the box and just snatched all the Legos out of that thing.
Hmm.
I'm like, guys, come on now.
That's a dick move.
Yeah. The worst part is, like, Walmart, you left it on the shelf. Like, it's clearly here. There was somebody working that aisle, like, stocking the shelves. And it was impossible to miss. It's just laying here, like my eye level, that shelf, my eye level, gutted open and empty.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Somebody should be doing something about that. But
yeah, that situation can get off the lawn. And now I'll get to the year of Duke and Rogue. Kevin picking Slick originally as manager of the year. Come on. You can like Slick, but come on. He loves
the Slickster.
Yeah. He did not manage winners. But
that's the thing, you know. Yeah. However, we both picked Jake the Snake as our guy of the year, and I'm pretty sure he only won one match.
Well, he brought more to the table than, you know, what Slick did as a manager. Because, again, I do agree with the role of, you know, Bobby, like, is off limits for the main part because what he brings to the table is untouchable. But
Some of Kevin's infatuations are kind of questionable. 'Cause you got your Slickster, you got, Skinner, couple of those guys. I mean, good characters. I like him too. I just, his he just falls in love with some of these guys, and you can't tell him otherwise,
Well, he negates his own argument half the time by saying stuff, and then you turn it around and tell him that Liz is important by his logic. And it's like, no, I did not. No. So yeah, his Liz hatred, and Sherry hatred, that's for you as well.
Yeah, man, it's
Leave those broads alone, all right? That's the and I just had a thing. I was like, Kevin, your picks all around suck. And then he had the line about optimism and stupidity, or like being optimistic and being stupid to you, like trying to say something like that. And I was like, Kevin, I'm optimistic, nay, certain you are stupid when it comes to
Well,
your Yeah.
yeah, I mean, listen to him talk about Skinner and Jimmy Del Rey, like what should have been. That's about as optimistic as he can get.
Yeah. I like to give him the business on stuff like that. I still wish you would have flipped up that when he was talking, such high praise on those early episodes of the Year Of about Elizabeth. And just like, Kevin,
Right.
yeah, thoughts?
Right. Yeah, I tried to call him out on that on the 100th show. His I'm not sure what happened, but somewhere between the second and fifth seasons of the show is he just decided he hated this gal.
I was happier with the thought of like, the Harvey Whippleman as the worst manager take, like the just this. It's like, yeah, Harvey didn't really do anything that he caught the tail end there, but it just wasn't the thing. And apparently that guy, like they refer to him as Downtown Bruno backstage, does as much for the business, like as far as service to the business, like picking up people's rental cars if they've got crazy flight schedules, like getting them to the airport, returning, like handling that kind of stuff for them to make sure the talent is keeps moving forward. But which that's the tip of the cap, but just not a manager, man.
Right. Yeah, you were a big fan of that era that we just covered.
Yes.
Did was he the guy that brought Sid in? What was his? He had a doctor's bag. I didn't really get his gimmick.
I don't know. He had a Pee Wee Herman like suit on with like one of the like Kangol looking hats. It seemed like that was the vibe I got from him, that Pee Wee and a Kangol. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure where the doctor was. I think they were just trying some things on to give him a foreign object to have, because you can't give another person a megaphone when you got Jimmy Hart.
Right.
There's different things that you got Bobby that doesn't need any kind of gimmick whatsoever, like just show up and be Bobby. Yeah, once again, I do reiterate and echo to Kevin, this season just proves Brett once again not a five tool player. Great in ring, but you put him on the stick, and I mean, yes, Kevin tries to defend it. Well, it was with Hot Rod. It was with Hot Rod. Like that's one of the legend. Yes, but if you are the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, get on the stick and prove it. Sounds like a line you would say at one of those gentlemen establishments. That is my lawn. Again, kind of short and sweet. It's been a relatively pain-free some of the stuff. Well, I do have one last one. When I say the term staying in your lane, we've got a young one at work, I'll say, that I guess there was a situation that came up. A colleague of mine from across the country is like, hey, man, we've got this issue. Can you help us out here with this possibly? Let's try to make some plans. Well, when I mentioned it in a meeting, this other individual takes it upon themselves to start reaching out to other people. I'm like, no, just, bro, you don't understand it. Like it's not happening yet. I'm just trying to forewarn everybody in case it does have to happen that, hey, don't lock in your schedules just yet. There could be something up. And he's, oh, well, I've reached out to them. They haven't heard anything about it. So it must not. And I'm like, just stay in your lane, dude. Just stay in your lane. So those that can't stay in their lane, you can get off my lawn as well.
Right off the lawn. Man, you guys been doing this show about 5 years, something like that?
It's been, yeah, since before OG was born. So, yeah, right at 5 years.
Man, it's an honor to be on the show here and finally be able to clean up my lawn a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to you guys, you know, kicking the sad sorry sacks off the lawn for quite some time now. I mean, I've had a pretty good couple of weeks. I just got back from a trip out to the West Coast. And before I get into my lawn, Hitman, great four-tool player. He's got the rest of the tools in the bag. But you get like a couple years down the line, though, bad guy Hitman, that might have been the best Hitman, actually, because as a heel,
oh, 100%. You know,
he was able to achieve that five-tool status at that time. But, you know, he's still getting used to being a singles spot guy. And yeah, I mean, just generally, I've heard that it's more fun to be a bad guy, which I can get.
Yeah, I've heard that from everyone that's been in the wrestling business. Like working heel, there's something about it that you relish a little bit more. Unless you're Cody Rhodes, and then you need to be. He's I forgot the guy's name on The Boys. Like I was about to say Peacemaker. No, that's John Cena. But like the Homelander, maybe, or something like that. The superhero that's supposed to be this big, great, shining superhero, and he's not a good dude. Like it's,
yeah, he just picked up the strap again, right?
Yeah, that's a little frustrating to me. I'm like, you're not building anything, are you? Like, okay. Whatever, guys. I'm here.
I'm looking forward to Roman and Punk colliding.
Yeah.
That'll be worth the price of admission, but maybe not if we're literally talking about the price of admission, because, man, we got a big show coming to the Twin Cities, SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And just like get in the door prices in this big ass stadium. I mean, you're going to need binoculars to see anything. It's about $200 a night. Now I'll pay it. Cause I mean, I think it's been it's been a long time since we've had a marquee show here, you know, and it's just about 5 miles down the road. So I kind of have to go, but I mean, I know you guys have kicked ticket prices off the lawn before, but it's kind of an easy target, but I mean, it's just should be a little more affordable to be a fan, man.
Yeah. I've heard rumblings, and that was one of the, again, just rumor and innuendo, all that fun stuff, that Vince was trying to potentially buy it back with some Saudi investors because he's not exactly thrilled with the direction I can't remember if it's like what, TKO Sports or whatever is trying to go. It bummed me out to see like the Royal Rumble and there was empty seats in the stands. Like you could clearly see empty seats in the stands. I'm like, man, this is the event for me. Like I know people are like, man, WrestleMania. But I was like, the Royal Rumble is the one to me. So
yeah, the Royal Rumble match is, that's always been the highlight of the year for me. It's a business, but it's just, I mean, now more than ever, just the idea that it's all about how much profit we can generate, kind of at the expense of your homegrown fans here. It's just a little discouraging. But, yeah, I don't know how I feel about Vince making a comeback, but that would be a hell of a comeback.
Yeah, it's it's a slippery slope. Like it's a...
yeah. Not really a guy you want to cheer on, but he is a guy who was the architect of a lot of stuff we enjoyed growing up.
We do have to, you know, give him some kudos for the wrestling that we do enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, just ticket price for SummerSlam, get off the line. I'm going to be monitoring some secondary sites, because I'm sure as the show creeps up, they'll drop a little bit. But outside of that, man, I got back from my trip. It's beginning of March here. And when I left, we had a blizzard here in Minnesota. And when I got back, it was a nice, solid 50 degrees. So I timed that pretty well. But then I walk outside, we got snow on the ground again. So, like, late season snowstorms can get right off the lawn. I mean, I was trying to leave a snowstorm here in the Twin Cities. And then I get down to the Iowa-Nebraska border, run into another one. I hear a big crash and a bunch of brake lights on I-80, and all of a sudden I'm involved in this 30-car pileup on the freeway. It's like the snow followed me or some shit, man. It was not a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I was really hoping, like, you know, we saw the van on the news, but we were hoping for a Duke Bags exclusive. Oh, yeah, there's this, man.
Man, it was a shit show, because it was basically whiteout conditions and just kind of mass confusion. Like I said, we got like 30 vehicles on both sides of the freeway that are involved in this thing. And I guess there was a newsman out there, because, you know, you see it on the news, and I would have loved a chance to plug the show. You know, I just didn't, you know, I wasn't even aware. But, you know, it could have been much worse. Made contact with another vehicle, but, you know, I was glad to get out of there in one piece. But yeah. I mean, spring is just about here. We got, by the time this thing's out, we're going to have daylight savings time. So, I mean, with that, snowstorms can get off the lawn for now. So I spent a good part of the past couple of weeks in California. Lovely place. You know, they got almost 800 miles of just beautiful coastline and desert and just all sorts of cool things to see and do. But I got a couple of complaints about the place. And again, this is kind of a softball pick, but gas prices in California. So let me explain here. I learned a valuable lesson. So if you're going to California, fill up in Arizona or in Nevada just before you get in there. Because once you get in there, they just charge you whatever they want. The most expensive I seen was $6.39 a gallon.
Woo!
Yeah. And then you hop over the border to Arizona, and it's like a reasonable $2.99.
Yeah,
it ranged anywhere between like $4.50 and that $6.39, depending on where you were. But
I shudder to think what it is right now, because I know we don't cover politics here, but the events of the world, like you got to be under a rock not to know what's happening. The prices, like my truck takes diesel, and it shot up 90 cents a gallon in 2 days.
Mm.
And I'm like, what are we doing, guys? Like, you didn't have a truck come fill this up. Like, this seems like you're taking advantage of a market right now. They're saying, well, prices could go up.
A little bit, yeah. That was before the recent events, and I've seen that since I got home here. Even just the past few days, stuff's gone up about 50 cents.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be hitting that $10 mark out there in California before too long.
That's what one of my coworkers, he transferred in from a base out in California, and he was saying, he's like, yeah, he's like, it stinks. But then he's like, I've got a picture on my phone where it hit $7.99 a gallon when he was out in California. And he's like, so I'm okay. Like, it's fine.
You know, the cause of a lot of this inflation, we could just leave it at this, but war can get right off the lawn.
There you go.
So I'll just leave it at that. Way too expensive. No clear objectives, right off the lawn. All right, back to my trip here. So I went to San Francisco, went to the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yep.
Real cool time, beautiful weather out there. Walked across the bridge, walked back. But the parking lot of the Golden Gate Bridge can get right off the lawn, and here's why. I come back, I want to, like, you know, drive my car away, go see some more of the sights. I do not intend to drive across the bridge. I don't want to pay the toll.
Right.
I'm leaving the parking lot. It doesn't say, like, bridge only. It just says exit. And I get out of the parking lot, and now I have to cross the bridge. I can't turn around, you know. Like, my ass pulls over, tries to back into the lot. That was a bad move. I had a cop apprehend me and threaten me with a misdemeanor. Like, no, you got to go, man. But it's, you know, more clear signage, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only like 15, 20 bucks, whatever, just across the bridge and back. But that wasn't my intent.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that you have to pay to cross that bridge is still mind-blowing to me. But
just tolls in general can get off the lawn.
Yeah.
I know California's got one of the biggest economies in the world. Maybe it's because they charge so much for gas and for crossing these bridges.
Yeah.
That's got to be a huge source of revenue.
Yeah, it's something else, man. I'm still just bewildered, like, you know, some of these. And I know, like, our state has recently added some toll roads and things like that. And it's like, well, it's to generate revenue for the roads. And if you've been on some of the roads in Alabama, yeah, that may be a good thing, but it's not to, again, get political or governmental or anything. Where the heck are our tax dollars going? I'm just leaving it at that.
Right. I like how you guys, you know, stay away from that stuff because it's real easy to get sucked down the hole, you know. Just a couple more quick things. So one of my goals for the year, I admire our fallen co-host, you know, Kevin Rogue. He's finally kicked that nicotine habit.
Yep.
I'm shooting to kick that habit by the end of the year. But in the meantime, I'm on vacation, and I'm in California. And you can't buy menthol cigarettes in California. I thought this was the land of the free, man.
Yeah.
Like, not even in smoke shops, nowhere, you can't buy flavored tobacco.
Nothing's free in California there. That's what you're saying. You heard it here.
Right. Right. Oh, man. Thank God I had a van and I packed well, or else, I mean, it costs a small fortune in gas and whatnot, but great time out there. And finally, this is kind of a lame one, but this kind of echoes one of your complaints. So it's taxes are due in about a month. I've been getting text messages and emails from TurboTax every day reminding me to file my taxes.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could be proactive, and I'm probably going to do this after we're done with the show and just say, you know, stop. I know when my taxes are due. You don't got to remind me every single day. It's a bit much.
Yeah. Yeah, those recurring notifications are one of the things, the bane of existence, everything being on these godforsaken rectangles that we hold in our hands and, you know, talk to everyone on. We use it typically these days for everything but a phone anymore. But,
right. just real quick. We want to kick influenza off the lawn. We're hoping the Serpent of Pleasure is able to kick out and join us here among the living again soon. So, thoughts and prayers, buddy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Basically, like, so if I recap, Duke, it's like, you know, California, yeah, the free land of California with my air quotes there. yeah, the influenza, you know, the winter weather, like, and trying to stalk Duke. Got, you know, Johnny C's submission for Kevin and his snake wrangling skills. Yeah. Kevin's selections, all these things. The recurring text, all of this off the lawn. Go do something better with your life. You sorry sad sacks. You know, people that don't stay in their lane. You know, all these things right off the lawn. But we will. We can roll into our loaded question because I really get excited. Like when we talked, I know at Kevin's birthday, that's the first time I got to meet Duke in person. I know we discussed it on the previous one, but this is the first time I've talked to Duke specifically. And we ended up, you, Double T, and I, like, got to talking music. And Matt was like, man, I want to talk to Duke more, just music. Like, just constantly. Like, this is so much fun. Like, wrestling and music and all. So, the question, if you had to pick one, what is, I guess, the most, if you want to call it a banger or whatever, the best wrestling thing all time? And again, we might go deep into this discussion of, you know, alternates and things like that, but what is your best, like, wrestling thing? You turn it on, it's like, oh man, like that brings it back right here.
The best wrestling theme song.
Yeah,
man, there are so many good ones. That was great meeting you guys a few months back for Rogue's birthday party. But yeah, that's one of the things that, like, really drives you in, and it's really hard to get past a couple of Hulkster themes, you know, Real American and, you know, the Voodoo Child NWO theme.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, both of those, the original DX theme.
Yeah.
That's another one. And it's interesting because these songs by themselves might not be, like, the biggest masterpiece, but they just fit their purpose so well. Like, for some reason, I once upon a time looked up Real American and I saw Rick Derringer playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same just watching Rick Derringer playing it.
Yeah.
But when you got the Hulkster coming out, the red, white, and blue, tearing the shirt, you know, getting the crowd going, it's just a whole different animal.
You see that Hulkamania flash across your TV and
yeah,
that lit hitting you. Oh, man. Somebody's getting body slammed tonight.
there are so many good ones. That is really something that I think Vince latched on to the importance of it, because, I mean, a lot of these seasons Kevin and I have talked about, everybody's got a banger of a theme song, whether it be Demolition, Heart Foundation, Million Dollar Man, Akeem's Rap. I mean, even if it isn't, like, the greatest banger, they're memorable tunes that you associate with the character. So, but just off the top, I had those couple of Hulksters in the DX, I think, were, you got the Game. There's so many, man.
Well, the simple sound of breaking glass, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that, like, the songs that, like, if you're watching TV and that first note hits and, like, the crowd in the arena goes wild. The, you know, I know the people at home can go wild. I still remember the night. And again, Real American it's almost like the level of Bobby Heenan as far as, like, this discussion. Like, you have to set it aside, like, on its pinnacle up here, and then have the discussion.
Right. Give everything else a handicap. Yeah. Yeah.
The night I know he and Edge won the titles, and he was still coming out to Voodoo Child. He had swapped over to, you know, face Hogan again, but he was still coming out to, like, Voodoo Child. And when Real American hit, when they came out for that tag team match against, I think it was Billy and Chuck, like, myself, mm-hmm. my brother, and his, one of our friends, Nathan, were at the house watching the show. And are, like, jumping, like, shaking the house, jumping up and down as, you know, teenage boys, like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, well, Philip and Nathan may have been early 20s, but I want to say we were all, like, teenage guys and just losing our minds for a brief mm-hmm. moment. Like, we were three little kids again. Like, and it's Hulk yeah. Hogan. You know,
yeah.
It's hard to beat, man. Like,
that was a holiday show, wasn't it?
Yeah. I want to say it may have been 4th of July.
I remember when my dad and I were at the grandparents for a family get together, and we had snuck downstairs and we're watching it and cheering on the Hulkster. That's something I'll always remember.
Yeah. There's when it comes to the music too, when it's a comeback, I still remember. So the 2020 Royal Rumble was when Edge made his comeback. And, like, it was either 20 or 21. But, all right, let's see who it is. And then that, you think you know me. And that crowd, like, I got chill bumps just recanting this. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, that crowd went mm-hmm. nuts. that, I remember watching live WrestleMania 33, I believe it was, when they were having the tag team ladder match. And then the New Day comes out. They were the host. And it's been turned into a fatal four-way. It's like, but who could be this? You know, and they were doing the whole, who. And they start like, mm-hmm. acting like they're about to walk down the aisle, and the Hardy Boys music hit. Mm. And just that place erupted. And then mm-hmm. I know in 2021, like that August, there's an AEW show. Like we're going to talk well about AEW for a brief moment here. When Cult of Personality hit, when they were in Chicago, and like that, I felt that crowd through the TV. Like that was one of those, wow. Like that's mm-hmm. that whole thing about theme music. I don't subscribe to the notion or his belief that it was Michael P.S. Hayes who I was the first one to have theme music. You know, you may have wrote your own theme music, sure, like Bad Street.
did they come out to Freebird?
They originally, did some. Yeah.
I'm not sure who the first guy was to come out to, you know, come out with the theme song.
It does really emphasize things. Like, you know, get you going rather than just a standard walk out. Although, if you're an Andre the Giant, you can just walk out and, you know, you don't know mm-hmm. theme music necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bad Street, that was an all right banger.
Yeah.
For what it was. But, I mean, yeah, you can go so many different ways, too, with the theme songs. I mean, like the Nature Boy theme song.
Yeah. Well, that was what I was about to go into. What about just music, like no lyrics? Like that, the Nature Boy, I got the Nature Boy, Hot Rod, Macho, Undertaker, or four just, they resonate in different ways. That's just, mm-hmm. wow.
Yeah, you got Kane.
Yeah.
Kane, that kind of gives you just the whole production too with these guys, like, you know, you get the, it kind of puts you in hell almost, yeah. You know, with Kane, it does the job. And Goldust,
yeah,
a guy we might be covering here shortly.
Yeah.
Same kind of like classical pieces that just put you in, I don't know, something magical about music, man. It puts you into a kind of a different place, and with each of these pieces we've mentioned, they fit the character like a glove.
Yeah. Well, we would be remiss without mentioning, though, you mentioned what we may be covering here, and you guys used to warm up, like do sound checks or whatever with a certain individual's just music entrance.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
the warrior,
the warrior, the old dun 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 dun. Man, great song. Great yeah. song. And that whole production, too, just this upbeat, you know, heavy metal rock and roll with this cartoon character, Wild Man, just running 100 miles an hour down to the ring, shaking the ropes.
He's blown up as soon as he gets in there. But yeah.
we give Warrior a lot of flack on our show, and probably rightfully so, but as far as excitement goes, nothing could really touch the Hulkster. But if we're just talking about those first like 2 minutes, right? That was his strong suit, was yeah. just getting up there and getting folks pumped up.
Yeah.
And yeah, hell of a theme. I think he had the same theme throughout his career.
Yes.
And I know that others have changed, you know, for example, mm-hmm. like, the Sean theme started off with Sherry singing and morphed a little bit over the years.
Yeah. I still, the Kurt Angle's version of like, Sexy Boy, I'm just a sexy Kurt, I'll make your ankle hurt.
oh, man. The Kurt Angle theme.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. That's probably up there with, like, with a Ric Flair or Undertaker, Mr. Perfect, as far as just instrumental. And yep. you get the You Suck mm-hmm. automatically. Just beautiful.
I've got to quit looking around my office because I'm seeing so many more, like Lesnar's theme, like has an intensity to it, like, and it matches his cadence, like coming out of the ring. I want to give a shout out to some ladies though, like Io Sky's music. It hits a little different. I'm not just I know the Jays might disown me for this. I'm not a huge Io Sky fan. I mean, the whole thing, like, you know, that's, you know, but I will say she's got a banger of a theme song. Like, that is, it is very solid. Yeah, I'm just going around the office here.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer a, you know, like a Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk tune with words that people sing to, or just a straight theme?
I'm looking around this office and seeing, it seems to be more just a straight theme. Like, because I look, there's Razor Ramon. Like, that was a banger.
That was classic. I think we probably picked that as our theme of the year on one of the year ofs.
Yeah.
So good.
Austin, like that, the cadence. I like Roman Reigns' new stuff. Like, I think it's befitting of the character he's portraying, like the tribal chief stuff, like that. I'm going around this office again. Stone Cold, like that intense. Seth Rollins has, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's got Burn It Down, and then it's just the music.
That's the that bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's another thing maybe we should touch on quick. So Kevin and I have talked about this. Back when Hulkster came out, nobody was singing along to Real American. These days, you get everybody singing along to theme songs.
Yeah,
I don't really know how I feel about it. Like, I get the participation, you know, but I guess it's not a bad thing to have everybody singing your theme song, but
I just like,
but the Hulkster was kind of like, you know, just sit back and enjoy the ride kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just you're screaming your head off because it's Hulk Hogan. I do like the, right. I saw like a meme or, you know, different gifts and stuff like that. The adrenaline in my soul. So, something, something, Cody Rhodes.
something, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Good question. There's so many of them. You know, you got to kind of put Stone Cold with the Glass Shattering up at the top too, because that's like the Hulkster. The first second you hear it, you're all juiced up.
And we didn't even touch on the greatness that is the Billy Gunn theme songs that he had in his career.
Oh man. I'm an ass man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that the one Billy Gunn, like, they're both, like, you know, it hits a little bit.
You ever hear the Rockabilly tune?
Yes.
Oh, man, that is terrible but funny. Like, kind of the same as the Honky Tonk Man tune.
Yeah.
You know, memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Bad but good. Oh, he's had some... Daddy Ass has some good ones.
I think owning it was one of the things that, like, you know, on some of these that you can get things over better. Like, if you just own it, like, you may not like it as much or anything like that, but if you just embrace whatever it is, that it can kind of stick to you. But granted, it's better if it meshes and everything. For tag team, I'm always going to say Demolition is my favorite theme song. Put a bow in this. I was just looking around, like, for different tag teams. Give an honorable mention to the Wolfpack theme song.
That Demolition's a classic. What about the whole production with the New Age Outlaws?
Yeah, that was one. Yes, it's up there on my list. Oh, you didn't know?
The crowd participation. And that was kind of one of the first times we saw something like that.
Which, when it comes to the sing-along, I would be remiss. And again, I could talk music and theme songs and sing-along and all that. Enzo and Big Cass. My name is Enzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud. You can't teach that. Yeah.
Yeah, they really latched on to that.
Yeah, I just looked up and saw Enzo. One of the fun entrances to me was Too Cool. I see them beside Enzo and Cass on my tag team shelf. So,
Oh man, that was perfect.
yeah.
I mean, a classic Attitude Era moment, you know, when they got in the Rumble and they dimmed the lights and they
They
just
did
did their
that.
dance routine. Oh, so good. And that's a case of like their whole shtick was, you know, probably better than what they offered in the ring.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was entertaining to say the least. Like that was the fun part. And they teamed up with Rikishi. That was a kind of like your odd bedfellows, so to speak, but it worked. Like it worked for the time. That was a tremendous time on the question. Like I said, I enjoy talking music with you. I know Kevin will have his thoughts on it. I'm sure that the next time he's in on the episode of what we missed, I'm sure the Heavenly Bodies will be on his list.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be pissed we didn't bring up Savio's, you know, Caribbean
Yeah, it's Caribbean
melodies.
music. Yeah, it's from Puerto Rico. It's like, where's Puerto Rico located, Kevin?
No, man, it's
Somebody buy Kevin a map. That's what we should get him. Yeah, some flu medication and a map.
It sounds like a good care package.
Atlas. Yeah, some Vicks Vapor Rub. You know, Theraflu and a world atlas, like with Puerto Rico circled, like in the Caribbean.
Right. Knowledge is power.
Yeah. The more you know. But we will transition here to the part of the show, the 7 minute mission, as I get this timer set. 7 minute mission brought to you by J&J Figures. If you are in the wrestling collecting world, looking for hard to find figures, looking for new figures, anything like that, they are carrying so many lines now. Like the J's have really hats off to them. They've got so many partnerships. I mean, they carry the new Mattel stuff. They carry lines from, I know, the individual makers, Zombie Sailor. They've got the big rubber guys from the Major Brothers, TRT. Like so many different lines that they have partnered with and carry now and get to your door so quickly, safely. I mean, just pristine packages that. You know, you get they're collectors first, and they try to serve other collectors as best they can. So you can find them at jjfigures.com, JANDJ Figures on all social medias and on whatnot. Go by, check out a stream. They've got merchandise as well. I know we're trying to leave these winter months behind, but they've got the bargains, so to speak. I'll say that for Kevin as well to kick off the line next time. They've got those. They've got the t-shirts, all sorts of stuff. So go check them out, jjfigures.com. So we will start the timer now. Last time on the 7 minute mission, we covered the WrestleMania 15 grudge match 2-pack, which had an overall grade of 74.125 or 74 and an 8, if you like fractions. Was not the best line, but today we're going back. I know it's crazy to think about, but we're going back to the 1996 Survivor Series 4-pack. We had omitted this one previously in episodes and decided that, hey, the next time we have Duke on, we should review this one. Well, Duke's here. So,
I am here.
yeah, Kevin pointed out that Duke had these figures when they were growing up. So we'll start, if you're good with it, left to right on this 4-pack. Again, Wrestling Figure Database, you can follow along. Start with HBK. He's in his teal tights with the broken heart, the earring. And again, like I told you when we graded this one, Duke, I feel better about this face. It's not a great face, but I feel better about it seeing what is coming for Shawn Michaels in the future.
Right. It's not an A face, but I'd probably give it a C. It's got good detail with the tights. Could probably go without the earrings are like, you know, a part of the hair,
Yeah.
essentially, which not a big fan of that. But this Michael's probably the weakest out of the collection, but I'm pretty pumped we get to review these because I believe I got this set for Christmas back in 96.
Nice.
I had all these figs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it would be a great starter to your fig bed in 1996, especially at Christmas. If you had, again, you may have had Jack before, but if you didn't, this would be a tremendous starter pack. But we gave HBK the C because you could tell it's him there. We go on to the excellence of execution, the four tool player himself, Bret the Hitman Hart. Now he's it's one we've seen in the past. He's got the sunglasses on, got the black top, pink bottom singlet gear. They go through a lot of detail with Bret, and that's one of the things that we always liked when we covered these Bone Crunchers.
Yeah, he's got one hand open with one fist closed, which I like. See, he did a lot of fist action. Oh yeah,
Yeah.
but also the like you mentioned, the details are great. Even like the hair, there's always like he's always got strands of hair flowing down, and they got that fixed in there, and kind of back to what we were talking about pre-show. I really remember this line of figs fondly because of how accessible they are in your fig fed. You know, these suckers can move around. You can slap somebody in a sharpshooter pretty easily with this Bret Hart.
The bone
And
crunching was that was a new, just a fun little touch for this
yeah,
time.
you had mentioned the non-symmetrical nips on them.
Yeah, the 3-9 nips, like on your clock.
So that's a little bit of a flaw, but I thought this Hitman was real solid. I would have preferred maybe if the glasses were like maybe a removable thing, because he's got the glasses on there. But regardless, I would give this A minus.
A minus. Well, we will go on
Right.
to one of the highlights of this box set, Mr. Golden Dust, as Santino Marella would say. It's the Gold Dust figure, one of the early ones. I really like, it comes with the wig. It's got the gold bodysuit with, and Duke pointed this out to me, with the cowboy boots and everything. Did some paint schemes to try to make that shimmer really happen, which I think they did a fine job, especially with the limited palette they had at this time. But got the wig on him, and he was one of the, if I remember correctly, one of the themes for Blue Dust there. Like, that's your champion.
Yeah, he was definitely an inspiration. The bizarre one. This was a character like we'd never really seen before. I mean, you could go back to say, I mean, guys like Adrian Adonis maybe, but Goldust kind of took things to a different level. His gimmick's basically an Oscar statue initially, right? That's what he is. He's painted head to toe in gold. They got that spot on. He did wear the cowboy boots early on, so I like that. Would have been I'm not gonna complain about the lack of robe because he didn't wrestle with the robe. But there was one I think this is an outstanding rendering of 96 Gold Dust. One thing I remember about this fig though is that the head popped off on multiple occasions. So I'm not sure if it was like put together differently, because that wasn't a problem I had with a lot of figs, or maybe he just took a real beating in the fig fed. That's possible.
Yeah, quality control wasn't a staple always at Jack's, we've noticed. But yeah, we
But
gave Goldust the A this time because it's a solid figure with, we got the one and only Green Tights Warrior here. That's the one that I know we're excited about with about a minute to go here on this. He's got the green tights, the orange and yellow face paint. It's hard to mess up a warrior. I'll let you give your thoughts and turn the floor over to you. Yeah. Tell him, Duke. Like, Kevin likes that.
Tom Paul. This is Warrior. I mean, like you said, real tough to mess him up, but they got all the features. I mean, he's a ripped guy. Face looks right, body looks right, they got all the features. Kinda gotta give him an A. He was a superhero. His gimmick was his strong point, and they did a real good job with him. I remember having this one and having the blue one.
Well, it's definitely an A figure. So with 10 seconds to go, we've got an 89.25 overall for the Summer or Survivor Series 96 four pack. Not bad. That's a fun 7 minute mission there. That was it is nice to go back in the Wayback Machine and let these figures, like, especially if it meant something, like you had this one and like, oh man, like it takes you back. And that's what the fig collecting should do, is like, especially for us guys, you know, here. We've been doing this, as Duke and I were discussing, for like 5 years now, like the hit you in the feels, like these figures you collect, like, oh man, I remember this exact moment or this exact figure and what it meant to me. So again, mission brought to you by J&J Figures, jjfigures.com. You may,
yeah, man,
yeah, they may be able to find you. This is brought to you by Toys R Us, the Survivor Series 4-pack. You never can tell. They come across things that I am bewildered how they found that. I'm just going to be honest with you. So,
yeah, man, that takes me back to going to Toys R Us back, you know, back in the day. And all four of those guys were featured players in my Fig Fed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, speaking of Toys R Us, that's usually where we would transition right into the trophy segment. Now, I know Duke is not as hot and heavy on the things that Kevin and I collect, but I'm sure, you know, with his trip, we've got some trophies to add, but I'll kick it off. I was able to find this last week. It wasn't a heavy fig week. I did pick up some additional cards for the card collecting habit. Oddly nice. Enough, I guess, picked up a new podcast this week, if that's a trophy.
I guess that's a trophy, yeah.
Although I'm off Matt Bowman's lawn because I got a text message from him like, you start a baseball podcast and you don't think of me? And I was like, in fairness, I said, Johnny, you know, had wanted to do this and he reached out to me, man. Like, I'm just here for the ride, bro.
You might have to arrange a guest spot there.
Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I got to talk to Johnny about. So, well, we may need to include Matt some, especially when we do some opening day stuff. But I did pick up some figs, the Wyatt Six, the three pack that they had that has Eric Rowan, Uncle Howdy, and the Nikki Cross. As far as figs, that was it. Grabbed a few baseball cards, a few whatnot streams. And that's, you talk about going in the Wayback Machine. I'm going to shout out KMK Collectibles on whatnot. He's running some basketball cards. This was my peak era of collecting. The 1995-96 Fleer Metal cards. Like, he auctions them off a pack at a time. Holy crap, man. Like, I'm having flashbacks to opening these packs and seeing these exact cards. Like, man, like, you know, young, you know, 11, 12 year old Alan is opening these packs. What did I get? that is it. Light week for trophies, not too bad. Well, do you have anything to put on the wall or to share, Duke?
Oh, man, I can, yeah, you guys have been talking more about cards in recent months, and I haven't pulled the trigger and got back out there yet, but I do share a lot of those same memories, and I got bins of cards, you know, from that era specifically. Yeah, I might have to get back into it. I enjoyed listening to the Bunt Force pod. And that was one of the things about, like, I enjoy playing basketball and I'd play, you know, pick up whatever was going on. But the stats part of it was something I really kind of nerded out about. And that was a cool thing about the cards is, you know, you could kind of do your own analytics and whatnot with it. But
I go to anyways, look at the stats on the back of a baseball card, and the first four cards I pick up are like specialty cards that just have a write-up about them. No stats whatsoever. Like, well, back here if you need me.
I could see myself getting back into that here in the near future, but like Like you said, I just got back from a trip. I was gone a couple of weeks. Don't got any tangible trophies, but I got a few experiences. I got to see Robbie Krieger, the guitar player of the Doors. He did a concert in Anaheim. He played about 2.5 hours of Doors classics. And honestly, I didn't know that there were any Doors still alive, let alone out there still playing. So that was a real treat. And I also got to check out and board Air Force One
Oh, wow.
at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. That was used by seven presidents up until W. So that was pretty gnarly. And then I went to the Nixon Library and got to board Marine One, which was the helicopter that he used when he left office. So I'm a bit of a history buff, so seeing those couple of spots was, really scratched that itch. And I mean, any day I can learn something new is a good day for me. So yeah, it was a good couple of weeks, man.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It crammed a lot in. Drove about 5,500 miles, which was a bit overkill, but very impressed with my mid-90s conversion van that I just
Nice.
picked up. I guess that's kind of a trophy.
There you go.
Picked that up a couple of few months ago. Yeah, outside of the, I kicked California off the lawn for their how everything's twice as expensive there, but lots of cool stuff to see out there. So, but those were just a couple of the, I guess trophy moments, if you will, from the jaunt.
Oh yeah, that sounds awesome. Again, I did not realize there was a door still alive myself. So that is a little mind blowing to me that wow, I had the opportunity and I didn't realize it. So I want to say it was outside of Nashville and then they came to Huntsville and it was a band which it was bluegrass. But John Paul Jones was playing with this band while they were touring.
Oh,
And
shoot.
big the Zeppelin fan that I was just wait, what? He was doing what? Like I missed it? No.
Oh man, I'd love to see him. Yeah.
I've heard arguably from everyone that knows music, like when it comes to this, like John Paul Jones was the like you got some ridiculous musicians, but like John Paul Jones was the one that like he doesn't get the credit that he might deserve for what he brought to the table there. I still love the story of when they had the concert at the O2 Arena and they were practicing. And I think it was Jason Bonham, because he played the drums at that show, shared the story of their practicing. And Jimmy's trying to remember some things and he's like, was this right? Is this the way it should be? And he's asking John Paul Jones. So yeah, it's fine. And he's like, well, no, I'm serious. How is this? This is Jimmy Page. He's like, look, Jimmy, you're going to play it the way you play it, and I'm going to play it right. So that's what he told Jimmy Page.
Was part of one of the great rhythm sections of all time, and he kind of played everything.
Yes.
He was the secret weapon in that band for sure. And I got the chance to see Robert Plant a couple times, and that was a amazing experience. But there was something real special about that Zeppelin band. I mean, Jimmy Page is my, as long as I can remember, he's kind of my favorite guitar player. I mean, warts and all, because especially live stuff, he would never really play the same thing twice, which kind of gave it, organic, kind of dangerous feel. But
Is what
man,
John
yeah.
Paul Jones was referring to. And just, you're going to
Right?
play whatever you play. I'm going to play it
Right.
right.
But if I ever see him coming within, shooting distance from me, I'm gonna have to go see him too. Because I mean, Krieger, the Doors were big 60 years ago, so he's got to be in his 80s. I mean, these
Yeah.
guys aren't going to be around for long. So if you get the chance, go and see him.
I kicked myself for not going to that Rolling Stones concert when Charlie was still alive. Talk about a drummer that stayed in the pocket, man. Like just.
Oh yeah. I got to see him once. Yeah, really underrated drummer. But I got to give it to the Stones for, I mean, they kept their world tour planned, and then his health went downhill, and He had picked out a successor, Steve Jordan, been playing with him since then. So I saw him on that tour a couple months after Charlie passed, and they did a nice tribute to him at the beginning, and because he was really, really an essential part of the whole feel of that band. Yeah, I mean, nobody lives forever, so like I said, if you there's a lot of these legends that are defying the odds and still playing at a high level. It's pretty incredible. Maybe something about rock and roll keeps you young or something. I can't explain it.
Or keep you preserved, one of
Or there you go.
Well, we'll put a bow on this one. You can find us on Twitter at Top Pod. You can find the main channel page at GBW Pods. You can find our sister show, the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast, at Year of Pods on Twitter. I've got a new season preview coming out following this episode on the channel. We've got a new
Season
channel.
10.
Yeah, season 10. That is wild to me that we've been through this many years. Some good, some real bad, some real bad. But
Yeah, I got a good feeling about this coming season.
it's very
Yeah.
exciting. Knowing what I know, it is, all right. This should be entertaining. This should be a good time. But we also debuted the Bunt Force podcast. Again, we called it Gorilla Brain Radio on there. We're working out some kinks, all this stuff. But shout out to my main man Johnny C there. Really excited to talk baseball with him. He may be, aside from Double T, like, I'm gonna give Double T his love, like, maybe one of the biggest, like, baseball just fanatics that I know. Like, he really loves that game. Shout out to him and Double T, the rest of the Wizards there. MF for Ted, as Kevin would call him, Big Daddy. We here at Gorilla Braid love you, Ted. Like, these videos are just, it's priceless. It is so priceless. But, Manny, brother, good to hear from you this week. I know we talked a little old 80s sitcom TV stuff. He happened to catch a Miami Vice that had Captain Lou on it. He's like, made me think of you, man. Just wanted to shoot you a text. Hope you're doing well. And so, shout out to Manny, the Jays, and Dougie Nunya, Johnny C, these guys that help the collecting community. KMK Collectibles, man, it's dangerous. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very dangerous to get on that stream if you collected that mid to late 90s era basketball cards, because it's like you get that nostalgia and the feels. But he does these things, Duke, and I've shared it on the show, called movies. If somebody buys a box, he'll open it there live, so you're watching what they get out of this box. And it's just, I saw him pull the gold Kobe rookie out of a Top's Finest box. It's like, graded 10, that's a
Oh man.
$36,000 card.
Sheesh.
I struggle to fathom having a $36,000 card. It'd be awesome.
Man. That does take me back. I mean, there were few other thrills as a youngster than busting open a pack of cards. You know. And I could just imagine, because there was so many that I, like I said, I got a small stockpile, but there were so many that I didn't get that I know are out there. And I could see how that'd be a slippery slope,
I've seen
sliding
people
back into it.
invest, and I'm not exaggerating, like, on some of these boxes, like, thousands to even tens of thousands of dollars into cards, which, again, that is out of my wheelhouse altogether. But I mean, this is the ones, like, that have the multi-$100,000 hits and, like, potentially in them. Like, they the some of the case
Wow.
hits are, could buy my house. So,
Right. Yeah, you're gambling essentially.
yeah.
That's part of the fun, you
Yeah.
know. Yeah. I remember going to the card shack and dumping my money, hoping for the best.
But
So
that's all I got. Anything you would like to plug, shout, the floor is yours.
just get well soon to the Serpent of Pleasure. We need you back here, buddy. Yeah, Johnny C. You gotta speak into the mic a little more clearly, but just eat that mic, man. But I'm pretty stoked about your new show. I was tempted to kick you guys off the lawn for your ranking of my Minnesota Twins, but they are kind of an abomination year in, year out, so I'll allow it. But yeah, we got the Bunt Force Pod, man. Just it's out just in time for the season. So if you're into baseball, check that out. And I think you, yeah, I think you pretty much covered it. So I want to thank you again for having me sub here. It's been cool being on and kicking some things off the lawn, and
Oh yeah.
just thoughts and prayers to our brother Kevin Rowe.
Yeah, he appreciates those. Everybody reach out to him. JJ Rowe, thoughts and prayers. But with that, we'll put the bow in it, as Kevin would say, be good to one another, support one another. Yeah. Thank you everybody for listening.